Please pause with me for a moment of prayer. O merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, to me, the task this morning to preach us, Dutch Neckers, for the second time in history out of this beautiful church. 200 years ago, 24 members left this First Presbyterian Church of Cranberry to form the First Presbyterian Church of Dutch Neck, with one other member who came from the Kingston Presbyterian Church. Why would one leave Cranberry? Who would leave this gorgeous town? There's great restaurants here. Pastor Mitchell and I, you know what we do, clergy, we eat a lot together. So he introduced me to the Cranberry Inn lunch menu. We had a good time breaking bread. Then recently he introduced me to the new restaurant down the road, Molto Bene. We indeed had again a Molto, a very good time. We walked past the lake to arrive on this splendid fall day there. It's lovely out here. The food is good. The people are all above average.
Yeah.
There you go. Why would one ever want to leave Cranberry? Church is good too, I'm finding out right here this morning, right? Why would one ever leave this spirit-filled sanctuary with heavenly music? Becoming acquainted with Dr. Mitchell during our mutual preparation for this celebration was a blessing. Your pastor is also a scholar, as you know, and in fact, over the summer, he read a book about the founder of the Free University in Amsterdam, where my wife and I studied and met each other, the Dutch statesman and neo-Calvinist theologian Abraham Kuyper. Dr. Mitchell probably knows more about Kuyper than I ever did. I never asked you, Lou, but did you study Kuyper over the summer because you knew we were coming over today and you just wanted to know a little bit better who you're dealing with? Who's this Dutch guy who's serving Dutch Neck? What did they teach him out there in Amsterdam? What congregation is he bringing with him? What am I getting myself into? And what if they stay? Maybe you thought we would come and stay and never leave, that we would have squandered all our money and possessions like the prodigal son, and we were tired of eating pig food on our farmland. You know what's striking about this Abraham Kuyper? He did exactly die today, November 8th, 95 years ago. That's quite coincidental, or maybe not.
Providence.
No, probably not. Something new is being born today, and in order to have something born, always something old has to die first. This is all to say that I deeply appreciate the hospitality that this whole congregation is showing us. You've extended your arms as wide as that father in the story of the prodigal son did. And I want to thank Dr. Mitchell and the session members for opening the way for us to celebrate today's reenactment of almost 200 years ago, when those 24 members of this church and the one from Kingston asked the Presbytery of New Brunswick permission to form an own Presbyterian Church of Dutch Neck. But why would one ever leave Cranberry? 200 years ago, those 24 people had just one answer repeated three times. Location, location, location. Where one practices faith can be in the end very pragmatic. Why travel a distance on horse and buggy when you could meet in a meeting house right on your own village road, you know, there in the corner with South Mill Road? Why not turn your meeting house in your own street into a church? You know, we checked into renting a horse and buggy to leave from here today, as they must have done 200 years ago. Now, people who run such a business responded that they felt that the cranberry to Dutch neck horse and buggy ride idea would be difficult given the distance, the logistics, and time it would take, more than 2 hours. Plus, we decided we didn't want to pay $850 per horse and buggy for that. So we do understand why Dutch Neck has left Cranberry 200 years ago. Location, location, location. They didn't want to ride half a day anymore to go to worship, however beautiful it might be. Because can Christ not be found where 2 or 3 or 25 are gathered in his name? The motivation to leave was practical. Theologically, the move was sound as well, of course. That Dutch neck left this place is a memorable historical fact, a very practical one really, but was, as theological feed, completely insignificant. Which is actually why we are here again full of joy, right? Because our ancestors in faith in Dutch Neck did not leave following any theological discontent. A remarkable fact in light of the uncountable Protestant denominations that have been formed over the centuries because of theological disputes. I think you had a second Presbyterian church here in Cranberry that left because of such a thing and came back 100 years later. I just learned that. See, I'm paying attention to your scholarship this morning. And although we don't see each other often, you're in a different presbytery than we still seem to get along pretty well. And rightly so, because for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but entered heaven itself to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. In this lectionary text for today from Hebrews, the doors to heaven and earth got flung wide open wherever we gather. This passage describes the crucifixion of Jesus, but we do not get a historical report. There's no trial before Pilate, no description of the nails in the hands and the feet, no account of the Christ from the cross. Instead, the author of Hebrews views the crucifixion from a theological perspective, telling the reader not what happened, but what it means for the world and to the human heart, us, that Jesus died. The writer begins by stressing that Jesus' power is not limited to the earthly realm where we create sanctuaries, whether in Cranberry or Dutch Neck. Rather, Christ creates a path for us, inviting us into the very presence of God. We're called to follow that path. At times, that means we're sent into new territory. The text should keep us humble and focused on the essence of the gospel wherever we may worship. Church buildings are attempts to express holiness in wood and stone. Whether they're cathedrals with vaulted ceilings and lavish art or plain sanctuaries with simple lines and clear glass windows, churches embody human ideas about what a meeting place with God looks like. Do you know when those windows were dedicated, by the way? November 8th, 1953. Christian worship means being taken by Christ into the true and heavenly sanctuary and into the very presence of God wherever we gather together. Now, this passage also clarifies one other core aspect of Jesus' ministry. The writer contrasts what used to happen, repeated annual sacrifices by the priest, to what is now available through Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice of Christ. That is why it's a celebration today and a blessing that we have Holy Communion, the God-given banquet that seals us together into one new covenant, remembering the sacrifice and victory through the bread and the cup. Our contract with God is not paid weekly, monthly, or annually. No, our contract was paid in full once through Christ. And the table today reminds us that we are one community, living our call to care and love for neighbor in our own location, always ready to welcome prodigal sons and daughters, keeping the gospel news alive in our communities, looking both backward and forward. When we Dutch Neckers leave here today, I ask the people at Cranberry to pray for us. In this day and age, we do not know exactly where we are going. Contrary to the ones who left 200 years ago, our neighborhoods have changed. People in Dutch Neck don't necessarily share a common faith. Many of our neighbors come from countries and cultures much different than 200 or just 20 years ago. Wonderful people from India, Korea, and China are our new neighbors. We are going to a place we have not seen yet. We're going to need our imagination to see what God is doing next. So pray for us, as we will for you, as we live with the words of Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Psalm 127, also quite fittingly on the docket as lectionary text today, is part of a collection of songs of ascent, sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, to the sanctuary up there, reflecting concerns of agricultural life from the common farm families, the same kind of hardworking farmers as were gathered here in our area 200 years ago. The psalm breathes the confidence that whatever challenges we might face, we can trust God. We are merely instruments of God's work. Our life and legacy, our worship, our service, our ministry and mission, which started long before we were born and which will continue long after we are gone, are primarily the fruit of divine activity. On our journey, we will serve purposes we can only know looking back. We do not have all the answers. We must learn by walking into an unknown future. For Israel, it was God who built the temple, God who established Jerusalem, and God who blessed the lineage of David. For us, it was God who built our churches in Cranberry and later Dutch Neck, God who established our faithful communities, and God who blessed family lineages in both churches that are still in existence, such as the Conovers and the Applegates and Applegets and the Perrines. So when we reenact our sending from this church, we too might say, unless the Lord builds the church, those who build it labor in vain. May our locations in Cranberry and Dutch Neck continue to be blessed sanctuaries offering access to God, as Christ entered into the ultimate location, heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. May God continue to bless our journey. Amen.